would like to be noted for, and I've tried to build this reputation, that I would be noted for being a Bible teacher. That is one, and so, you know, as I travel throughout the city, you know, people say, well, you know that we know that you're a Bible teacher. You know, we know that you, and you know, to me, that's a great compliment, because that's what, you know, I've strived and I've tried to live my life for. You know, as you look at your life, what would you want to be noted for as a man or a woman of God?
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ease, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us as we continue a series entitled A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, with the first half of The Faith of Enoch, a faith that takes you out of this world.
We're going to read from two different passages, one in Genesis and the other one in Hebrews. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 19, and Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found not, because God translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Thank you. You may be seated. As we get into our faith journey this morning, we are going to visit a man by the name of Enoch. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and that Enoch was no more, because God took him. God translated him. Enoch is one of the only two people, other than Jesus Christ, that went into heaven alive. The other one was Elijah. And Enoch pleased God so much that God took him home. If you can think about, envision in your mind, Enoch walking with God. You know, think about people that you have walked with. Maybe you've walked with people throughout your neighborhood. Maybe you've walked with people at the track. Maybe there's been various other places where you have walked with someone. But just imagine that Enoch and God were walking together. And you know, I believe Enoch's testimony was the song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. What a powerful fellowship Enoch and God had. And I reminded what the old preacher said. He said that Enoch and God walked together, and the fellowship was so good that they started out walking in the morning. They walked together throughout the day. And by the time it was evening and time to go home, that God said to Enoch, we are a lot closer to my home than we are to yours, so just want you come home with me. Or, in the words of that great theologian, Gladys Knight with her Pips, that when God and Enoch were walking together, God said, and Enoch said, neither one of us want to be the first to say goodbye. That the fellowship was so good that they didn't want to leave each other. They didn't want to say goodbye to each other. And so here we examine this morning on the road to the resurrection, the faith of Enoch. And what we are going to be looking at is walking with God. In order for you to have faith, you got to walk with God. I like what Hebrews 11, if you're there, Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says this. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, we're talking about a faith journey to the resurrection this morning, saints. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't even get in the game unless you got faith. If you don't have faith, you are nowhere close to God. Because first of all, God is a spirit, and you can't see a spirit. And so in order for you to even have a relationship with God, even for you to know that there's a God, you got to have faith. You know, I shared last week when the young people were, when it was second Sunday, how that our five senses bring us into touch with this world. You know, our sight, our hearing, our smell, our touch, our feeling. You know, they all bring us into communication with this world. But those five senses do not get you outside of this world. The only thing that gets you outside of this world is faith. And you got to have faith to come in communication with God. And Enoch's faith was so tough and so powerful that it says that he walked, that Enoch walked with God. Now I want to share with you a couple of things about Enoch as we look at his walk with God. You know, if I had to put a title on this sermon, you know, I would call it this: a walk that takes you out of this world. A walk that takes you out of this world. How many of you have a walk like that? How many of you have a walk that will take you out of this world? As we look at Enoch's walk this morning, I want to share with you three things, and we're not going to be long. I want to share with you the fame, the name, and the aim. The fame, the name, and the aim. First of all, let's look at the fame. In Genesis chapter 5, we are told twice that Enoch walked with God. That was his fame. That's what he is noted for. Walking with God. You know, when you look at your life and you look at your Christian walk, what thing would you be noted for? Yeah, you know, I would like to be noted for, and I've tried to build this reputation that I would be noted for being a Bible teacher. That is one, and so, you know, as I travel throughout the city, you know, people say, well, you know that we know that you're a Bible teacher. You know, we know that you, and you know, to me, that's a great compliment, because that's what, you know, I've strived and I've tried to live my life for. You know, as you look at your life, what would you want to be noted for as a man or a woman of God? Well, just think of Enoch's fame. Enoch's fame was that he walked with God. That he walked with God. And some of you sitting here today might think that that's far-fetched. You may think that that's rather strange. You may think that that's a stretch for somebody to walk with God. But I'm going to break it down for you this morning. And we're going to look at what does it mean to walk with God. And if you're not walking with God, as the songwriter said, if you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. There'll be a blessing that you'll be possessing. Walking up the King's highway. See, in order to walk up the king's highway, you got to be walking with the king. And the first thing we see, his fame, that he walked with God. And notice, walking with God involves three things. Three things. You know, I'm trying to break this message down to its most simple common denominator that even a caveman can get what I'm going to say this day. Because, you know, some people, and I can hear it, especially some young people say, well, how do you talk to God? You know, how do you walk with God? And so, you know, they struggle with that whole concept. They struggle with that whole paradigm of what it means to walk and to talk with God. And so as we break it down this morning, the first thing we see that it means that you got to have, there's got to be an agreement. There's got to be an agreement. Amos 3:3 says this. Can two, oh my goodness. Y'all know this verse. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That there's got to be an agreement for you to walk with anybody. That word agreement in the Hebrew actually means an appointment. Can two walk together except they have agreed on an appointed time? You know, back in the day, I would go to the track and I would walk around the track. And throughout the time that I would walk around the track, there would be people that would be in groups and they would be walking together around the track. There'd probably be maybe two or three people in each group, maybe about four or five groups, and they would walk around the track together. Now think about how they got there. The way that they got there is because somebody somewhere said, let's meet again tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Let's meet again tomorrow at 7:15. And so the reason that they were walking together was because there was an agreement. Because there was a set time. When is your appointment with God? So you got to have that time where you come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. You got to have that time when you agree that, God, I'm coming into your presence. But watch this now, that there's not only agreement to come into God's presence, but I'm going to move into my next point, and that is communion. Because you stay in God's presence. Because you stay in his presence. That I not only come. See, I preached a message one time. And some of you are going to think it rather strange when I tell you the title of this message. But the title of the message was Stay in the Closet. Now, I know where some of y'all minds are going, right? The title of the message was Stay in the Closet. And Jesus said, when you enter into your closet, what was Jesus talking about? Your prayer closet. That when you enter into your closet, when you come into that time where you are spending time with God alone, don't leave your closet behind, but take your closet with you. And there has to be communion throughout the day. That if you're going to, just think, you know, Enoch just didn't make an appointment to meet with God. And then say, okay, oh man, I'm preaching to somebody this morning, including Pastor Glaze. Some of y'all out there in online land, I'm preaching to you. Some of you here in Bethany this morning, I'm preaching to you. God didn't just say, Enoch just didn't come in the closet, but Enoch stayed in the closet. There was communion throughout the day. And when I go throughout my day, I've started it out in the presence of God, and now I'm going throughout my day. And as I get in my car, I'm walking with God. As I go to my job, I'm walking with God. As I come home and spend time with family, I'm walking with God. As I prepare to go to bed at night, I'm walking with God. That there's a constant walk with God. Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42 in verse 1. As I talk about agreement, when you talk about agreement, now I'd already done told you. I already done told you that faith is believing in someone you can't see. Your faith, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you already, your people might think you're crazy because you're walking and, you know, maybe your meditation is sweet between you and God and you keep it between you and him. Or maybe, you know, I'm finding out now, saints. Somebody help me. Somebody pray for Pastor Glaze. I'm finding out the older I get, the more I start talking to myself. That's a good conversation, somebody said. You know? All right, Keys, you right here. Keys, I'm putting you on the table. All right. Drink, I'm putting you in the refrigerator. Right? You know, you talk to yourself. And so maybe some of y'all are already in that mode of talking out loud. Maybe you talk to God out loud. Or maybe you talk to him yourself. But there is that communication that you have with God, communion with him. Enoch walked with God. Psalm 42. As the deer pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And just think, you know, the deer. If you can imagine the deer, a thirsty deer, and think about when you're thirsty and you want a drink of water and how that water is on your mind. And just think about that deer, how that is desiring, its tongue is parched, its mouth is parched, and it's desiring water. And each breath in and each breath out, it desires water. It just wants the cool its mouth, the cool its tongue from a refreshing stream. And so the deer, each breath in, each breath out, is moving towards that water. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after thee, O God. That, Lord, all day long, I'm communing with you. You know, and the fact is that you might be on your job, and you might be handling important business on your job, but you can still be communing with God. You might be talking to a coworker or a friend, and you can still be communing with God. Because see, sometimes you need to be communing with God when you're talking to a coworker or a friend. Because sometimes they might knock you off course. You know, they might cause you to get in the flesh, and you might have to say, okay now, God, give me strength. Okay now, God, give me wisdom. See, but saints, if you're not walking with God, then you'll say something, you'll go off, you'll do something that you shouldn't do. But if I'm walking with God, God, I'm walking with you like the deer's panting after the water brook. Lord, and you know, to walk with God pretty much means to have a God consciousness, to just be conscious that God is in your life. I'm not saying that you become some kind of fanatic where you taking your Bible and you preaching 24/7. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a God consciousness in your life. Enoch had a God consciousness. He was aware of the fact that God was in his life, that God was there. Enoch walked with God. God, you know, my son been acting up lately, Lord. And Father, I know sometimes I just don't know what to say to him. Father, you need to show me. Lord, I got to make a decision about something in my life, Lord. I need you to guide me and direct me. You know, there's that God consciousness. And then, you know, that sin comes up before you. You know, whatever it is. And you say, okay, Lord. Lord, help me now. Okay, help me, God. You know, back in the day. Back in the day, this was something that I would have went after, but Lord, I need you to see. That's what it means to walk with God, agreement with God, communion with God, that you're communing with him all day long. Sometimes I wrote a devotion a couple weeks ago, and the title of devotion is Don't Listen to Yourself by Yourself. Right? Because you got some, I'm going to tell you what, you got some strange ideas. You got some strange thoughts. And so you need to bring God into, you know, Lord, help me. And so as I read the word of God, what am I getting when I read the word? I'm getting the mind of God. Right? when I come and hear sermons at church, what am I getting? I'm getting the mind of God. When I come to a Bible study and I'm hearing the word of God, I'm getting the mind of God so that I'm able to filter all these things through this time when I'm walking with God. But if you don't put anything in, when you're walking with God, you're not going to have anything to draw on. You're not going to have anything to get out. That's why it's important to spend time with God on a daily basis. I know preachers stand up in the pulpit and they preach that all the time. People sit in the pew and they hear that all the time. But how much are people actually doing that? How much are people actually spending time with God to not only come into the presence of God, but also to get the mind of God? Do you have the mind of God this morning? See, here you go. Pastor, there goes another one of them strange concepts again. The mind of God. How in the world can I get the mind of God? By reading the word of God. That's pretty simple. That was an easy one. You know, I answer a lot of hard questions. But that one was pretty easy. How can I get the mind of God? By being in the word of God. And then when you're walking with God, it just filters through. And then not only agreement, not only communion, but I like this, intimacy with God. Intimacy. When I say intimacy, don't get some kind of wrong idea that I'm talking about something inappropriate or immoral. I'm not talking about that. You know, when I say intimacy with God, I mean sensing the presence of God in your life. That's what it means. Not some type of physical thing, but it means sensing the presence of God. Have you ever sensed the presence of God? Enoch, when he was walking with God, Enoch, he sensed the presence that God is with me, man. I see him. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. You know, I sense the presence of God. I've given an illustration. When I was in seminary, my wife was ministering to a neighbor lady up the street, and she came in after a certain time. I don't know. I had already gone to bed, and I was asleep. And when she came in, you know, she wanted to, you know, tell me how things went. So, you know, we were talking, and you know, she was turned toward me. I was turned toward her, and she was telling me about it. And all the time, she kept telling me that she said, "Bill." She said, there's something in this room. And I said, there's nothing in this room. She said, there's something in this room. And I said, there's nothing in this room. And so we finished talking, and she rolled over on her side of the bed and let her arm fall off of the bed. And all of a sudden, I heard her scream, and there was a cat in the room that screamed. And the cat jumped up, and I jumped up. I ran after the cat, chased the cat, tore my house up trying to catch this cat. Finally was able to get it out the door. But the thing that the point that I was making is that she sensed that there was something a little bit different in the act. Ooh. There was something different.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the faith of Enoch, a faith that takes you out of this world. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Faith of Enoch, a faith that takes you out of this world, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Enoch, a faith that takes you out of this world. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Enoch, a faith that takes you out of this world. From our series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.